Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Everybody come see the greatest show. Gather up all juggalos and roll. Everybody
like that.
Come see the greatest show.
That's a good choice.
Thank you.
Did you do that for our guest?
I did. It's this old theme song. I used to love hearing this every night.
I am very, very pleased on our TMOS Extra this week to welcome a voice from the past as far as I'm concerned and the Don and Mike show is concerned and Rob's concerned. Ron Bennington from Sirius Satellite Radio is joining us right now. He, back in the day, if you remember us, it was the Don and Mike show and the Ron and Fez show on WJFK. And we said to ourselves in the hallways at 10800 Main Street in Fairfax, Virginia, who are these strange dudes? And then when we did a short, brief, failed time in New York City, we remembered listening to Ron describe a pizza that came from Two Boots Pizza in Greenwich.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Greenwich Village.
Greenwich Village? Was that where it was from?
Yeah.
And Ron, with a sense of love that could only be conveyed by him, said, "Look at that son of a bitch."
Yeah, as they,
which
as
was
the
one
kids
of the greatest
say.
Ways to describe a pizza. And Rob and I talked about that for, well, we've been talking about it for
ever
20
since.
Years.
Right. As the kids would say, he said it without a trace of irony. He meant it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really did.
Ron Bennington, the Bennington Show is on 2 to 5. You probably know that already on Sirius XM. That's the channel 103. The history of Ron, you might remember the Ron and Ron Show back in the day, and then the Ron and Fez Show. And the cool thing that I don't know anything about is that you have been working with your daughter, Gail, for quite some time now, and that's been That's been your most recent endeavor. Ron Bennington, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to see you and to have you on. How are you, my friend?
Well, this is great. This is like the last scene in Titanic where everybody gets back together again.
I hope not.
I want to just, if we can do the memory lane thing first.
Sure. Okay.
I'd love to know, because I, back in those days, due to many reasons, incredible stress, a love of alcohol, I am not sure the circumstances that brought us together as radio people, because you came from somewhere. I just don't know where you came from, but suddenly we had Ron and Fez at WJFK in Washington, D.C. Do you know? Now, if you asked me the question, I wouldn't be able to answer it, okay? Rob's raising his hand.
As a historian, let me see if I get this right, Ron.
Yeah.
You were in New York when we brought you on to WJFK in D.C. with a later night show, maybe at 11, called ronandfez.com.
Right.
Where you basically reviewed websites. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, well, that was the gimmick of like, how do you get to New York, you know, because the Ron and Ron Show was a very big show in Florida. Yep. I went the exact opposite of normal people. I started in Florida and ended up north. But you know, I went through, you know, all the same things that you're talking about with the craziness of radio, with the craziness of many abuses. So by the time I met you guys in New York, how has somebody not written a book about that time at WNEW in New York City? It was a pirate ship. It was insane.
It was horrible for me personally. Yeah. It was a time where, to give anybody that might not be familiar with it, the backstory of the Don and Mike Show, we were asked to, in order to get a clear, which is getting a radio affiliate, to get a clear in New York City and in Philadelphia, to give up our afternoon show, and it would be taken over by Opie and Anthony, who would also get more affiliates that way.
Right.
And that's how it happened. And we ended up going to middays on WNEW. And when that happened, it was a time in my life. I remember, Rob, we were down in we were in D.C. for a week, and then we'd be in New York for a week, and back and forth and back and forth, and my marriage was crumbling, and it was horrible, and then throw 9/11 into the whole thing. But the main thing I think Ron's referring to in the pirate ship and the craziness is that we went up to New York and got ourselves into a dandy radio war with Opie and Anthony up there, and it was very... I was surprised by it. Maybe listeners weren't surprised, but it was really tough because we were walking down the same hallway to do the transition, and they had a separate way of walking us into this. Do you remember that, Ron?
Yeah,
that they had a separate way of walking us into the hallway?
Either one of us, either them or our team, would go through the engineer shop. And the other staff would use the hallway. And so we wouldn't ever have to make eye contact. And I think you remember the cut through?
Yeah, I remember where you could go through.
But the thing that always troubled me about it is
the weakest radio management team I've ever seen.
I don't see that at all. That's not how I remember it.
Jesus Christ. But I mean, really, a strong willed radio manager would have said, shut the F up and behave like adults. Yeah.
We really did come in ready to play nice.
I want to correct one thing, though. Rob, did we meet Ron in Washington or in New York?
In New York, we met him.
In New York first, and then when the...
It was first in New York.
Right,
right. In New York, and then when the station blew up, they brought us down to...
That's how it went.
Yeah, they brought us down with like, oh, okay, you'll come back to New York at some reason.
Yeah.
And then Fezzi and I jumped to XM.
They abused you. They split your shift. You had to do an hour at lunchtime and then still your evening show.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Everybody was lost and, you know, crazy, but I just chose to roll with it. You know what I mean? I just chose to, like, I don't give a shit what happens. Let's just
have
fun.
You're a chill dude. I mean, you're somebody who actually, you are, what I remember is that, you know, and I would go out and chat with you outside in front of WJFK, and I remember you. Yeah. What you see, what you hear is what you get. You do the same thing on your radio show. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, sometimes I loved your S's when you would broadcast, where it'd be just like, you know, it was just,
I'm just going to relax. Here's the thing we're going to do, Fezzi. We're just going to relax.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you were good at rolling with it.
You've seen an awful lot
at that point in your career.
Well,
right?
I had seen a lot of darkness at different places, some radio related and some not, you know what I mean? But I also knew, like, the difference is you brought up stress, the stress of doing radio in those days.
Yeah.
Where it's book by book by book.
Yep.
Nobody realizes that feeling, you know what I mean? It's almost gone.
Right.
And certainly no one who lives in the podcasting world understands not just your show is on the line, the entire station is on the line four times a year.
Talk to me about, because we got you for a short amount of time, and I want to make sure I ask the questions I wanted to ask you. When you talk about that, with the Sirius thing, it's not like the old days of radio, but it's still it's obviously more of a pressure cooker. I don't know anything about it. I've never done it. No. So I don't know what to describe it. I don't know what
that
goes on.
It's not a pressure cooker at all. You come in, do a show, and then everybody says, it's a good show, I guess, today. And then you leave. It's been like 20 years of that. But here's
that's
the
great
thing. And it's another thing that the big shot, who the big VP here is Jim McClure, who you guys came up with.
Wow. And, I didn't know he was still there. I saw him not long ago, and I didn't know he was still there.
Stop. Yeah. Hold, wait a minute. I didn't bring sound effect. No, I'm not going to play sound effect. I want to play a crashing sound effect.
No.
Jim McClure is the biggie now?
He's the big VP, and like he's come into his own. He's that guy, you know, in this place.
Wow.
Our part of the thing. And he's one of the few.
Great guy, by the way.
Really good guy. Really good.
Great guy, like what I would call a player's coach. You know what I mean? He's there for the
100%.
Team. And one of the few guys in those type of VP positions who has the background of broadcasting. You know, a lot of these guys come in from all different walks of life.
Right.
And so that's the connection to the radio that we all grew up in, you know.
It was a weird time. I mean, you were around, you were doing it in the 80s. I was doing it in the 80s. Yeah. It was just nuts. Absolutely nuts. We both had a radio partnerships that would be best described as interesting.
Sure.
You know, the it's difficult when you when we make the joke about one of the few people we can say hi to. That's not necessarily true, but we both went through interesting partnerships. You had Fez, and that's who we associated you with when you came and joined us. Ron and Ron was a massive show down in Florida, and you guys were huge. Based out of Tampa down there?
Tampa, yeah.
And big stuff down there. And why that show... why did that show end? Did that show blow up, or how did that work?
Yeah, all shows kind of blow up. You know what I mean? There's all shows do blow up, especially because when you get the heat, you're so young. You guys were young at the time.
Yep.
Stern was young. Everybody, you know, there's something about being in your 20s and suddenly all that stuff starts to happen. And I, you know, we were still doing stuff like, and the winner of line 9 of the U2 tickets, my Coke dealer. Boom.
Hey, how did that happen? Boy, that's the same prize pig that was on last week.
Yeah.
That's
coincidence.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's true. And but my experience, I have one experience with Tampa, and that was visiting Tampa during a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I thought Eastern City radio people were out of their minds. No, I don't even know what that station was down there, but they were bat-ass crazy.
Everybody.
All of them. All of them down there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's no doubt. I mean, just living down there.
Right.
Especially when you're young, especially when you have money, especially when, you know, you look around and there's just titty dancers all around you and people party and hang. I mean, it's crazy, and you wonder how long can this go on.
Right.
But don't you feel like all shows kind of hit that point that you've been in a car ride with somebody for a long time?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
What happens on that road trip after a while?
It's inevitable.
It is.
And it is also, I have found in my career, it's tough to, after it's over, that type of relationship is difficult to continue on any level for me. It's just awkward for me. It's awkward. And I feel like in the case of Don, you know, some feelings were hurt at the end and during the whole time. And it's just it's not his fault. It's not my fault. It's just something that you grow apart sometimes and you move on. And then there are other times, like with my most recent example would be Oscar, where it ends really kind of painfully. And it's you know, you pull the Band-Aid off and all this stuff comes out that you really didn't know was there. It can end in a variety of ways, but it is extremely difficult to go back. You don't see, I'm sure you see people that work in certain office buildings and certain businesses that is like, Phil, great to see you again. How are you? Radio, it's a little weirder. Broadcast show business is a little weirder that way, you know?
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
But Don and Mike aren't talking to each other. Opie and Anthony aren't talking to each other. And me and Fez aren't talking to each other. So, you know, what are you going to do?
For that. Fez was... you know, an interesting cat. He really. Yeah. How did you meet Fez Watley when you guys hooked up?
Fez was
after Ron and Ron.
Yeah. No, it was actually during Ron and Ron.
Okay.
He was a walk-in intern. I actually met him at a little comedy club.
Wow.
And he goes, "You work in radio. I want to be in radio." I go, "Come in tomorrow." You know what I mean? I didn't know. You know, I always like the guys to bring into your team or the ones that are hanging around the balloon.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like those
100%.
People mean more to me than any other kind of broadcasting. And he came in and he's funny and he's, you know, literally a guy who's playing a gay guy who didn't know that he was a gay guy. You know what I mean?
It is right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's Fez right there.
Even when you guys met him, he did not say, "I'm gay."
He was not officially out.
He was not officially, not only out, but not practicing in the normal way, because he had this religious upbringing that made the whole thing a terrible sin, you know? So he never, you know, got to that point. Even when he played, you know, Fez for, you know, over, you know, decades.
Yeah.
And then one day he said, you know, okay, I'm gay. And he couldn't go back and play the Fez character the same way. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Wow. It had to be almost hard.
It almost felt in a way like he wasn't being true to himself. And I'm like, it's still a character, but it wasn't as funny to him once he decided, you know what I mean?
Get that.
He couldn't put the stereotype mask on, you know? So he was the funniest person I've ever met. You guys know.
Yeah.
You've heard him do shit that was just no one else in radio has done it before, since, during. But he was so tortured and had anxiety and depression, which eventually became really physical in his life, where he would, you know, have heart attacks and shit like that. So it is, it's hilarious in so many ways. It's heartbreaking in so many ways. It's so complicated that since he's passed away, I think about what the fuck was that friendship about? Because it was like more of a friendship first than even a show. And yet we only really talked about the show like people who do this, you know, do. You know what I mean? You'll spend 2 minutes on family and the rest of the time, oh, that shit that you said, that could work. You know, you should run with that tomorrow. So all that stuff. But what I also realized when he died is because I didn't have to deal with all his problems, I went, oh, shit, I'm kind of fucked up, too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sober, but, you know.
A lot of issues there.
A lot of issues that, that, you know, I used to party about. But I probably used him and all his problems as a way of feeling probably stronger about myself.
As the weather cools down and we spend more evenings indoors, your home should feel like a sanctuary. Avocado helps you create a natural oasis with organic mattresses, cozy pillows, soft bedding, and thoughtfully designed furniture. Avocado products are carefully constructed with premium materials that are better for you and the planet. Certified organic mattresses, pillows, bedding, and sustainably sourced wood furniture make it easy to transform your home into a restorative retreat. Avocado uses premium materials and expert craftsmanship, so their products are designed to last. They deliver lasting comfort and better value over time. Better materials and thoughtful design lead to better, deeper sleep. And quality rest impacts every part of your life. Invest in your comfort. Every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind, so you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you bring into your home. Plus, they offer easy financing options with Affirm to make your purchase easy. Avocado, dream of better. It's better for you and better for the planet. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis.
Then, you know, I should have, like, I'm the guy watching out for this and that.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Did it ever occur to you? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ron.
I'm sorry. When he was still closeted and presenting the way he was presenting on air, did you ever sense that there was something deeper going on there? Or was
I would say to him for years, why don't you go suck a dick? And I bet you know what I mean? Just get that out of the way. Just get it out of the way. I know guys that will
confirm it.
Yeah, exactly. In no time. But that, you know, that didn't, like, he really, I mean, as a gay guy, he was more like a lesbian where he wanted to be in a committed relationship.
Right.
You know,
right. And it's tortured is the word you use that I think is perfect in that situation. And especially in those years.
Yeah.
It's so much different than it is today. It really is. It's a much different world.
We were in the AIDS years. The AIDS was blazing 100%. When he came out. And then we're in the South. Florida's still the South. And so you would get those calls and shit, which, you know, a lot of people never get a bit. It doesn't matter. But, you know, he dealt with that easier before he decided he was gay. You know what I mean?
I can see that.
Here's how people are. When I did the Ron and Ron show, people would say, hey, is Fez gay? And I'm like, I don't know, you know. The second we started to do the Ron and Fez show, I would get, are you guys gay? Is that what's happening with this show?
There were. I think part of the charm, and this is from an outsider,
right?
When we experienced you guys, Rob, I have a strong memory of not knowing what the fuck they were about. Wow. And that's what made the whole thing cool.
It was mysterious. They were creatures of the night. They came into that radio station. I'd stick around a little bit after 7 would go, and I'd see their show kick off. But it was mysterious, and it had an energy unlike any radio show I'd ever heard. Now, I'd listened a little bit to RonandFez.com, so I kind of got the characterizations. But when you got away from that internet angle and you started doing, like, I had never heard a radio show that would sit down and the first break would be like 55 minutes on which of the little rascals built the fastest car to drive down a hill. And that's like, and that was a go-to topic. And
me
it was,
too.
And it was so great. It was eye-opening for me because I'd never seen it done
fun.
Like that. Yeah.
But as
yeah.
far as the broken people, and I want to get your thoughts on my opinion of this. It was like a bunch of roosters mm-hmm. at a cockfight.
Yeah.
And the roosters would be thrown in the ring, and they'd start cockfighting. And then if one particular rooster, acted too violent, they said, no, hold on, you can't do that. We were asked to be kind of crazy and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when something would go wrong, the weak-kneed management would step in. But there was a lot of confrontation, and confrontation sold. At least on the Don and Mike show, it really did. There was a, I will say, sweetness to Ron and Fez,
yes.
which I personally found refreshing after my own show, where I would listen to that and go, I would be envious of it. I would be envious that it wasn't just being a cobra all day long and hunting rodents. It was cool, and
that was different. A conscious choice, like mm-hmm. Like if we were going to do this show, we were only going to have fun with it because we had been through morning radio wars and all that shit that just dragged you
horrible.
down. So I mean, the thing about that show, although we never had a good morning show because we couldn't put a big morning show in there, mm-hmm. but there was it was the Yankees. I mean? Like, there was so much mm-hmm. talent at the same time. But there was also such self-destructive, stuff going on with all the shows. Mm-hmm. With all the shows, you're like, you could have it all, mm-hmm. and you're not going to.
I feel that way all the time. I feel that. I look back and I do say, if we had been normal people, and we were able to communicate normally and experience life normally and just be like adults, things might have been lasted longer, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Who, in your opinion, are more fucked up, stand-up comedians or radio personalities or the shock jocks that we had back in the day?
The shock jock thing was set up. I mean, you see it in some places still, but it's way more political. If you remember, when we were coming up, we never gave a shit who was president.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. I don't even know if I voted the whole time I was in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it ever entered into the program at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
And now you can't get away from it. If you even say, I like this performer, oh, that guy's a libtard or that guy's a fascist, it's in the, so it's almost like the country became shock jocks.
Yes.
The listeners mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. the shock jocks today. But that thing, that self-destructive thing, comes in because everyone thought there's only so much cake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When the reality of it is you could all eat a piece of cake every day forever.
Right.
If you stop just jamming it into your face.
Yep.
So we were all brought up as gladiators. And I remember when I was in Florida radio, our boss was, I hate this. We hate 98 Rock. We're 95. Blah, blah, blah. All that shit. They would key each other's vans or whatever you did.
Then
those two guys were, I saw the two general managers at a fucking thing together. And I'm like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Being played.
Like, what?
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. Let's take, we're the guys that have the business degrees. Let's put the pit bulls out there.
Right.
It'll be great
see
for both of us.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was a weird world. But, you know, with the business of show, whether it be stand up or and, you know, most times I have always had a feeling that the relationship with stand up comedians to radio personalities is in many cases can be a difficult one, because there was nothing that most stand-ups like to mock than, hey, it's 15 minutes after the hour, nice to see. Hey, do that routine you have. You have made quite a business out of interviewing stand-ups and being around, as Opie and Anthony did for a long time. What makes it work for you to do that, to be in that world?
I would say this, like, if you remember the 80s, because I had a club is the reason why I broke into radio. They didn't know how to come in and do radio at that time. They only knew how to do their act.
Right.
So everything that was happening in the station weirded them out. And it was a guy named Kerry Kurlop, who's still, program director. He goes, look, because I would bring comics in every Friday. He goes, why don't you just come in and leave your comics home? You know what I mean? So you get this. But what's really funny about all those comics that hated broadcasting, every one of them is doing a goddamn podcast now.
Every one of them.
Single one of them is doing live reads, which they thought was, beneath them.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Some of the funniest stuff you will ever hear in the world of podcasting will be Norm MacDonald doing some of his live reads, which are unquestionably some of the funniest I've ever heard when he does that. But it's a two-way street, too. Radio people didn't know how to handle stand-up, because you're like, hey, dance monkey, dance, do your fucking act right in front of them. They didn't want to do their act. And then when you get people in a room where everybody's just talking and somebody's a successful stand-up comedian, if they just get on any subject, can roll and go like that. And, you've been around that for a long time.
But again, in those days, there was so much pressure per break. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in your head in those days, you're like, we're losing people. You know what I mean? We're losing. Yeah. All you were thinking the entire show. People are tuning out of this shit.
Right.
And that's a great way to make you feel funny, right? When you're thinking about that all the time.
It's got to be perfect. It's got to be perfect right now. I always talk about the fact that when I went into the world of podcasting, which coincided with losing a radio gig, and started doing it before the very last radio gig I did, and then finally settling on this and not having the burden of dealing with that. And it sounds like blissfully they let you do what you do at Sirius as well. It's just a different world, and also working with a family member, working with your daughter has to be, a thrill, because I mean, after I counted my son's fingers and toes, I wanted the sense of humor, and your daughter has it, and
spades. She's great.
Hate to say this, maybe a little funnier than you are, Ron, but
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get that all the time. The funny thing is because she was always right there, like, you know what I mean? Like, you bring your kids and then even on 9/11, because you brought that up earlier, that I had to go and, grab both my kids, and then I couldn't get back home, and I had her. So I was in NEW with her, and she sat right next to us when we did the show.
Wow. But
I remember walking in there, and I just gotten her out of this school, and this was, NEW looked like, okay, it's a place to use. Here is the center. And Don and Mike were on the air. And I swear to God, this was the first thing in my mind. I'm like, holy shit, these guys know how to do this. You know what I mean? You guys turned on to broadcasting. You both had that background. And you were doing it as good as anybody did it that day. You know what I mean?
While it was happening. I appreciate that.
It was an amazing thing to say, but I was also like, what the fuck are we going to do? You know? I don't have any, really good broadcasters. They could do, a rock show, a football game, a parade. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Explain the thing. And you guys were so good at that kind of radio of where, we're just going into the moment. And I was like, oh, shit.
Somebody asked me about WNEW and being in New York on 9/11. And being on the air with the first tower coming down, the second tower coming down, being on for about 8 hours that day, something like that, some weird number like that. And they said, what were you thinking about? I said, I was actually, when we would not be broadcasting, we would we weren't running commercials at that point. But we would take shifts where we would go out. I'd have a cigarette in the stairwell. And somebody said, what were you thinking about? I was thinking about somebody attacking that building.
Sure.
I was thinking about my own ass. I was thinking when I hear a creak or this or that. Nobody knew. Nobody knew what was happening, and that it was that weird a time where are they going to attack us? We don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what's gonna
it was shocking that it stopped. I remember that day. Mm-hmm. It was shocked when the plane stopped hitting.
Yeah,
I go, I don't get it now. You know what I mean?
Right.
This
weird.
Was the beginning of an invasion, not just you know. What it turned out to
I didn't
be.
Know your daughter was with you on that day. That's amazing. We could do this for 10 more hours, but I know you were generous with your time tonight. The future of radio, and I talk about regular radio, not satellite radio, but it's a weird world out there right now. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen with the biz of radio in the future?
Well, I mean, everything that we ever knew, TV, movies, magazines, newspaper, radio, they all got swept under this telephone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we thought of, it's almost even with nightly news, broadcasting is gone. Narrowcasting is the thing. You have to find whatever that thing is that you guys are obviously doing here with your show, where you're like, this is what we're going to focus on. But I don't think the world is going to see that kind of thing. And I especially miss it for local radio.
Yeah.
People don't
realize.
God,
yeah.
It's the best. We all got out and did different things besides that. But one show in one town where everybody knows exactly what you're talking, you bring up a pothole, you bring up a councilman, and everybody knows. That is the best, funnest radio you can ever do.
Absolutely.
And
it's like
the
my
only
favorite.
Way broadcast radio will ever continue to exist, I think. It has to stay local for it to, you know, flex the muscle that it has.
Not when one guy's voice tracking 18 stations in a building, you know, in Oshkosh or whatever it is.
So
but
true.
I, you know, the thing about the thing that's truly special to me about that era was exactly what he said, where you can really you can really zero in. It's like when I do an impression, I do impressions of a lot of different people, but there's nothing better than when I would do an impression of somebody at the radio station, whether it be a Ron Bennington or Fez or one of the sales guys. That's the, you know, when it's that small. Ron is on every day on Sirius with his daughter Gail Bennington, and the Bennington Show is just you guys do such a nice job. It's always funny. You're always funny, and we wish you. This is such a cool little trip down.
Can I
memory
say one
lane.
Thing real quick?
You go right ahead, Rob. Absolutely.
Two things. First of all, I was scared to death when we started doing the stuff at WNEW, and you and Fez were so kind and so embracing, and I thank you for that. I remember that many years later. But also to this very day, after he listens to the Mike O'Mara Show, my father listens to Bennington, and then every day listens to a classic Ron and Fez every day. And he's scared that one of these days YouTube is going to run out. And I said, don't worry, you won't remember anyway. But he does listen every day, and you continue to be really one of the most naturally funny people that we've ever met. So thank you again.
That's so nice. And also your old board op, Earl Douglas. Black
Earl, Ben. That's right. Earl, the politically incorrect name of Earl. You can't do that anymore, right?
Well, I thought it was always referring to his wardrobe.
That's what
the only color he wore.
Yes.
And he wore black.
And still, and unlike all of us, he looks exactly the same. There is something.
Black don't crack, Ron.
I guess.
Did he ever finish his book?
Maybe one that he read, but nothing that he ever wrote.
You're the best. Thanks so much at the end of your workday, taking the time
this
to come in and talk with us. Say hi to Earl. Say hi to Eddie.
Eddie Trunk.
Eddie Trunk. Say hi to Jim McClure, who I remember is a skinny goofball back in the day.
I'm telling you, man, he's on top of the world. You guys ought to get in touch with him. He's
running
everything.
No, I'm almost dead. I'm not doing that. Anyway, Ron Bennington, you rock. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for coming on our TMOS Extra. We appreciate that. And we'll be back with another episode, a regular show for you on Monday, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.